The medics come when they I ever won't leave this town. This city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown.
KABU Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KABU at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
Is anyone fine in the state of Carolina? Is there anyone you know of? One little girl to be all mine in the wintertime. And when the wind starts blowing and the snow starts snowing, you reach up and turn on the radio. Look out, Joe, you better take it slow, cause the chicks are ready to go. You reach under the bed to grab a jug, take a little nip, get ready to mug. Look at your gal, you dig her in the sun to make a holler, make a holler. I surrender, I surrender. Eyes smoking, shoot liquor to the brown gal. Take a tip from me, sweeter than Dinah Lee.
Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures, the comics and animation show. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm joined today live in the studio by author, comics artist, illustrator, voice actor, and bon vivant, David Chelsea. He's just launched a new project online. It's a webcomic in serialized form, and it's called Are You Being Watched? David, welcome back to Words and Pictures.
Thank you very much, Conch.
So this is actually, I think you're a three-peat guest now. So you're up there with luminaries such as Bill Plimpton, your fellow bi-coastal cartoonist. You've both worked, and he's back in New York now. But you spent some time, and we talked about this last time you were on. You spent some time in the early '80s in New York and Manhattan when there was still a sort of critical mass of amazing American cartoonists. There at the time. Seems like now this was before all the global real estate speculators moved into Manhattan. It seems now that all the cartoonists, all the great next generation cartoonists are here in Portland.
That may be so. I haven't been back to New York very much in the last decade or so. I think there's still one or two left. I think Bill Plimpton is still left in
New
York.
That's right, yes. And he's got a family and everything now. Well, you might be best known to KABU listeners as the voice of some of the Damon Runyon characters on radio theater. I would say you're the one person who's been able to sort of nail the Damon Runyon voice in a theatrical way. So props to you on that.
Oh, well, thank you. I went under the alias Naples Yellow.
Uh-huh.
For the Damon Runyon stories.
Which I believe, let's see, is that the Holbein paint colors that I'm going to get a little geeky here in the art. I think there's a set of paint colors that every character on the show was named after, like Payne's Gray and Naples Yellow. Anyway, we're going to talk about your new project. It is called Are You Being Watched? And this is a serialized webcomic that is probably going to be published at some point, I guess.
I would hope so. But I have no guarantees.
Okay. Now, this is based on a 24-hour comic that you did, maybe a couple of 24-hour comics.
Yeah, I did a 24-hour comic in 2013 called Are You Being Watched? I actually drew that one on a visit to New York. And then a month or two later, I drew a sequel called All Day and All... Oh, wait. All Day and All of the Night. Which kind of continued the story. And the webcomic that I'm doing is going to be combining those two stories and adding more material.
Now, Will, should tell listeners a little bit about 24 Hour Comics. This is kind of a comics exercise popularized by Scott McCloud, the mm-hmm. author of Understanding Comics. Scott McCloud was on the show earlier this year for folks who listen in. And it's sort of like the speed chess of comics drawing in that you're supposed to draw 24 pages.
24 pages.
Not 24 panels, 24 pages in 24 hours.
24
consecutive hours.
One page an hour.
Right. And full disclosure, I have been at least one of David's 24-hour comics events at his home, which are very lively. Lots of coffee.
Yes.
And so at the end of this, you're basically it's almost like an unconscious exercise, because you're not supposed to have a big plan in mind before you start this. It's supposed to kind of flow from your subconscious. So you've taken a comic from that 24-hour exercise, and you're making it a much more polished exercise. You're putting a lot more thought into it, and you start out with a character who is just named David Chelsea, who was a minor demon, sort of like something out of the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters, I think.
Well, he's basically playing the Mephistopheles role,
right? In the Faust, you're updating Faust here.
I'm updating Faust as kind of filtered through the Peter Cook and Dudley Moore movie Bedazzled. Basically, the setup is that Mug, who's the hero, sells his soul in order to get 7 wishes from the devil. Actually, in the new version, it's going to be 11 wishes. And his aim is to impress the girl he's in love with, who is a reality TV nut. Basically, that's what she spends all her time doing. So she tells Mug, if you can get on reality TV, maybe we can have a relationship.
So you've got a whole series of reality TV sort of knockoffs here. The demon character has been updated to the name of, what is it, Diavolo?
Diavolo Chelsipop. And I just figured calling him David Chelsea was a little bit confusing. I wanted to have something a little bit more demonic. And so I'm shouting out to the classic 1940s musical Hell's a Poppin', which I've never seen.
Oh yeah, well, so Mug is a character from your book Extreme Perspective for Artists,
yes.
Which we talked about last time you were on, and he's a fellow. We'll describe Mug. He's sort of an everyman. But
he's sort of an everyman. He's hollow-headed. He has a coffee mug for a head. And, you know, so he has a handle sticking out of one side.
And the object of his affection is a character named Mandy. And she is from a book that's going to be coming out from Dark Horse, Sandy and Mandy, later this year. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not a book. It's a 24-page comic that's going to run in 3 installments in Dark Horse Presents.
So Mug, Sweet on Mandy. Mandy... in typical dramatic flair, is not interested, but she's interested in something that Mug is going to get himself entwined in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to read a scene here. This is from the 24-hour comic version.
And in this one, Mug has found himself in sort of a Storage Wars type of situation?
Yes. So he says to the devil, how about if Mandy and I were married? And the devil says, yes, and working together, buying stuff you find at auction and selling it for big money. Mug says, yeah, that sounds good. And so now we see Mandy and Mug opening the gate on a locker. And Mandy says, okay, you won the bid, big man. All I can say is I wouldn't want to be you if this locker isn't worth $1,300. Mug says, it will be. So now we see them inside the locker, and we see a bunch of scattered items. And Mug is looking it over. He says, okay, that mirror is worth $75 easy, and that tricycle I can get 50 for, and the ottoman, $250, and the bar sign. And Mandy is crossing her arms, looking very unimpressed, and she says, peanuts. And then she says, what is that? And they're both looking at this strange metallic object that looks like a futuristic spider. And it's sort of the size of a small treehouse. And Mug says, you know, I think that looks like a lunar excursion module, Mandy says, in your dreams. And Mug pulls out his cell phone and he says, I know a guy who collects space stuff. He can be here in 5 minutes. So now we see the guy, and he is a typical collector type. He's got a backwards baseball cap, a goatee, a ponytail, a big gut. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, it's worth what I say it's worth.
And this is a guy out of comic books men or
kind of. They're similar types.
Okay.
He also has round black glasses, which I should explain that there's always a character with round black glasses in every one of these scenes who is sort of the devil, sort of a foil, but just a chance for me to get myself to play a lot of different parts. So he says, so let's see what you have here. And in the next panel, he says, if this were an actual LEM, it would be worth 32 grand, easy. Mug says, it's not. And the guy says, nah, it's a modern repro. Russian or Chinese, most likely. The dead giveaway is the finish on the heat shields. And Mug pulls out a sheet of paper, a pamphlet, and he says, but look, here's the operating instructions on NASA stationery. The guy says, forgery. And then we see the guy looking at the pamphlet. They never think about the fonts. This text is set in Cyclamen, a web font designed in 1997. You can tell by the angular tail on the capital Q. Mug says, so what's it worth? The guy says, tell you what I can do. I've got a friend who's opening a 1960s theme restaurant, and he might be interested, but he'll only want the legs. The rest of it is just too shoddy, and he wouldn't be able to fit more than that in his space. I can see them holding up a table, maybe. What I can do for you is to take it off your hands for, I don't know, $800. Mug says, $2,500. And Mandy kind of nudges him in the ribs and says, Mug? So here they're negotiating. Dream on, pal. $850. $2,000. I can maybe do $915. $1,000. Can you do $13,000? The guy says, all right. I'll do you a favor because I like your face and your wife's a piece. Just let me go bring my truck around. So he's walking off and getting his truck. And Mug says, so we broke even anyway. Mandy says, you way overplayed your hand. You came this close to losing him. Mug is looking at his watch. Boy, he is taking an awful long time coming back. Mandy says, if he's coming back. Next panel. Mandy says, how big is his truck anyway? He's going to have a terrible time getting that thing on it. Mug says, what, should we break it down? Mandy says, do you think? He said he only wanted the legs anyway. Mug says, I'll get the chainsaw. So now in the next panel, we see that the thing all broken up. Mug has just cut the legs off of it. And the guy is back. And he says, you idiots, what have you done? That thing was priceless. Now it's junk. Mug says, but you said. And the guy says, I was just saying that to talk you down. And Mandy picks up one of the legs and says, why you? And she's about to hit Mug over the head with it. And he does his raspberry, which is his little signal to get out of the scene. So that is the end of the scene.
This reminds me that, there's the reality TV, which is sort of seen as a lowbrow kind of viewing experience. You have a whole range that goes up to the public television sort of incarnations, such as
Antiques
Roadshow. Yeah, exactly. And even, public television put on a couple of sort of survivor type things like the Victorian House
those are wonderful
House or things like that.
I love that one.
This is so you're sort of going across the whole gamut of reality TV to don't give any spoilers away, but sort of what's the hand you're playing here? You've got the a little bit of satire here, obviously a little bit of literary criticism with the whole Faust legend, and it's just sort of a mashup here.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a mashup of two things. Bedazzled is one of my favorite movies. And, you know, I'm also familiar with the Goethe version. So, you know, Faust is a classic. And I also really watch reality TV. So I'm not so much trying to satirize the trend or denounce it as just to kind of hitch a ride and get some laughs out of something that I watch with the kids.
Well, the structure of reality TV is something fascinating because if you really look closely, you see how it's engineered. You see how each episode is engineered to get the outcome that they want.
Oh, it's definitely according to a formula.
And I remember some folks in the local pirate community here were on a reality TV show called Wife Swap.
I saw that one.
Yeah, and I remember talking to the couple after they came out and said, I will never do that again. They were just so completely hemmed in by the producers telling them what they could or couldn't do that it was just sort of nightmarish after a while. Anyway, you're listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm live in the studio today with author and comics artist David Chelsea. His new webcomic being serialized is Are You Being Watched?
You might want to tell the people where it's being serialized.
Okay, tell us where it's being serialized, how you can find out more about this.
Okay, it is being serialized comic on a site called Patreon. Or Patreon. I'm never sure how it's pronounced.
I believe it's Patreon. So if you want to be a Renaissance noble, any listeners out there, you know, like the Renaissance nobles of old who were helping out Michelangelo or any of those folks and want to help finance the career of a modern artist in this digital age, you might want to look at Patreon. There's all sorts of possibilities there.
Yeah. So I don't have the precise URL there.
A few ducats a month will get you.
Yes, so it's patreon.com. And once you get there, there are a number of web comics being serialized and a lot of people putting comics up, as well as people putting videos up, people putting audio files up. There are a lot of ongoing projects. It's kind of like Kickstarter, but more on a kind of ongoing basis than raising a lot of money up front for a big project.
Well, actually, it's sort of like how folks can support KBOO when they go to the KBOO.fm website and they decide to pitch in $5 or $10 or $20 a month to mm-hmm. keep things going on a sustaining level. That's just gets taken out of their checking account or whatever once a month, and you get extra, you get cool stuff actually for pitching in, you know, $5 or $10 or $20 a month on your site, right? You get to see behind the scenes things. You get things sent to you.
You get things sent to you at the $10 level. I'll send you my latest book. I forget what I give away for the higher levels, but I think at the highest level, which is $100 a month, at the end of the year, I'll send you a piece of original artwork, a big one, like a big painting on a bowling ball or something.
Oh yeah, you're famous for doing the spherical compositions.
Yes.
That are, yeah, actually you were doing this well before digital cameras got into that whole 360 kind of piecing things together, mm-hmm. stitching things together technology.
Yeah, what I would do is stand in one place and either I would sketch on a sphere, or usually a small ball, just looking around and placing everything in the scene, or I would take reference photos with a camera and get prints and then sort of line them all up so that I could figure out everything in the scene and then paint it on the sphere from that reference.
So let's talk about some of your other projects that are going on aside from Are You Being Watched? You've got another, let's see, is this another Dark Horse title? It's called Snow Angel?
Snow Angel. There's actually going to be a collection of Snow Angel stories coming out next year.
This is a fun little, it's almost like a twist on the superhero genre, but in a very kid-friendly, at least a very family-friendly comic.
Totally. It's a superhero story as it might be done by Harvey Comics.
Uh-huh.
And the premise is there's a little girl, it's not clear how old she is, maybe 9 years old, and she becomes an angel when she makes an angel in the snow. So she flies off. She kind of looks like she's dressed up for a Christmas pageant. And she fights the sort of things that a little girl might regard as crimes. Things like walking on the grass or getting your dog to poop on the street or littering, jaywalking, that kind of thing.
You know, you love not just comics and music, some of the music. All the music we've been playing is from your collection, by the way, and your personal collection. But you're sort of an aficionado of many things old-timey. Old-timey music, old-timey wardrobe. I think there was a time, this is back, and we were talking earlier about how you were living in Manhattan some 30-odd years ago, back in the days of CBGBs and, you know, having great luminaries such as William S. Burroughs at the Chelsea Hotel and things like that. And you would be very dapper in this age when everybody was punked out. And you're going for kind of a... people were saying, hey, Clark Kent. They're shouting to you, hey, Clark Kent, on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that was kind of the cry on the street. I would hear it a lot.
But you were going for Harold Lloyd.
I was going for Harold Lloyd, but Clark Kent was close enough. It was actually easier to find 1940s or 1950s vintage than 1920s.
So you like mashing all this stuff together. You like sort of bringing up these things from the past. I mean, I'm thinking of other cartoonists who also like to bring up historical sort of not let the past die.
You're thinking of Seth.
Seth is certainly one of them. The Canadian cartoonist. Mm-hmm. Also in Chicago, there's I'm blanking on the name right now. He was just in town with the literary arts. Anyway, so you enjoy bringing literary references also into your work all the time, and old references, obviously, like great puns and wordplay and things like that.
Yes, I do.
So tell us about some of the other stories that you're very opinionated, by the way. We talked, like, last time you were on about this 24-hour comic, Everybody Gets It Wrong.
Oh, yes. Which is the title of my first 24-hour comic collection from Dark Horse. Everybody Gets It Wrong was sort of an essay come rant in 24-hour comic form.
By the way, you claim to have... created more 24-hour comics than anybody else.
Yes, 16 so far, which I haven't done one in 2 years, so there may be people gaining on me. I sometimes have difficulty sleeping at night because of it, but I've been so busy doing other comics, I haven't had time to do a 24-hour comic.
So Everybody Gets It Wrong is based sort of on perspective in a larger sense. You're very taken with the idea of perspective, and this one is the perspective of the dreamer.
Yes, the perspective of the dreamer, also the perspective of the autobiographical cartoonist. One day I got this notion, and it struck me right between the eyes, that I had been doing autobiographical comics wrong, and everybody had been doing them wrong, and especially people had been doing dream comics wrong, and what would be the right thing is to do them from a first-person viewpoint, subjective camera, first-person shooter, which is, you know, the norm in
sort of like
video
the
games.
Halo games or whatever. Yes.
Yeah, but has hardly been used in comics at all, and so since then I've done the occasional autobiographical strip, but. Always from my point of view, not showing myself.
And you have, speaking of being opinionated, you have on your blog sometimes perspective police, which is where you take a someone else's work, maybe from a New Yorker cover or something like that, and you point out where they're getting perspective wrong or not being consistent in some way.
In some way, not being consistent, or in some way, just. Misplacing the vanishing points, and I will gently suggest corrections that will bring the thing into line without destroying the charm of the original. Since I became such a perspective advocate, I've become one of these people with perfect pitch that is always hearing the wrong notes in every performance, and it. I try not to be too insufferable about it.
Well, your first perspective book came out in, I think, the 90s. And the more recent one was, I think, just a few years ago, Extreme mm-hmm. Perspective for Artists. And that was a book and DVD set. And on that DVD, you actually have these digital tools that people can use yeah. to get perspective right.
Yeah, I have digital video or digital perspective grids that you can use. You can either print them out and draw over them, or you can use them as a background for drawing digitally. So save you the trouble of setting up perspective from scratch for every drawing.
Do you think actually sort of multi-perspective, you know, the sort of complex perspective that's you see in some of the more artsy comics, you think that's becoming more common now? People are having the digital tools that they can use to make their stuff look more realistic and avoid the common mistakes?
Well, you know, I would be thrilled and delighted if people were using the grids on the disc in Extreme Perspective. I don't know if they're not. Actually, no one's ever gotten in touch with me and said, hey, I did this swell drawing from your perspective grid.
Well, I think people try to sort of conceal the artistry. I mean, that's sort of a rule of making art, is that you try to conceal the structure, the sort of legs underneath the table.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Although, well, it totally doesn't make sense if you're doing a how-to book.
So, Are You Being Watched is being serialized right now, and that's going to come together at some point. When do you think is an end point when there'll be an entire thing that people can leaf through and enjoy the story?
Well, I haven't exactly taken a full inventory of all the pages. Most of the pages are still in rough form, and I'm drawing continually. I think it will be over 100 pages. Give or take. So given that I've only put up page 14 this morning, that's going to be a year or so away.
Have you got everything plotted out, or are you still going to surprise yourself?
I have everything plotted out. Basically, if you read the two 24-hour comics, they basically cover the story arc. What I'm adding is transitional material and extra scenes.
Well, you're still getting some feedback from readers. I know that because you said one of the scenes that's set in the Old West, you're going for sepia tone instead of grayscale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I put that up on my Facebook page. I had done the whole scene in grayscale, and then I looked at it and said, hey, it might have a more old-timey look if I tweaked the hue to make it in sepia. So I put up a panel in both versions on Facebook and said, what do you think, people? Grayscale or sepia? And I got something like 75 responses. Overwhelmingly, people went for sepia. So actually, the scene that I posted this morning is the conclusion of that. So the first page is in sepia.
I think, you know, there's something to be said for spot color. Just, you know, Alison Bechdel's, both of her books are mm-hmm. done with one spot color, and it's just really nice. Does something to sort of heighten the sort of tone of the piece, you know, gives it a nice feel.
That might be good.
So are you still doing illustration for some of your New York clients, or has that kind of dried up?
I think that's dried up for everyone. I haven't done an illustration probably in at least a year. And if there are any illustration clients out there, I'm busy, but I can always make time for paying work.
I don't know. Last time I heard, there are some print outlets, some major print outlets who are saying, you know, hey, does anybody want to illustrate our article for free? And people were jumping on it. What's going on with that?
I don't know. I guess we can be thankful that they're not asking you to pay to appear in their print.
And I think that's the next step. There's a great essay out on the web called The Coin of Exposure, which
really?
Yeah, which
oh, which, I love that phrase. I thought yeah. I came up with it myself.
Yeah, well, explain the phrase.
Well, the coin of exposure is just when somebody says, hey, I can't afford to pay you, but appearing in my anthology, in my newspaper, on my website is going to be great exposure for you.
Right, and the fellow who did this essay said, "Well, you know, I should ask the dentist to do my root canal, and I'll put his name on my car and drive it around town. Wouldn't that be great? That could be the payment for the surgery."
I remember I ran into another cartoonist at a comics convention, and he told me he was doing some illustration for some startup client, and I said, "How much exposure are they paying you?"
Well, so Snow Angel is another comic that's coming out from Dark Horse 2 as well at the end of the year, later in the year. Are You Being Watched is the web comic. The creator is David Chelsea. David, thanks for joining us once again on Words and Pictures.
My pleasure.
And how can people find out more about you and your various books and projects?
Well, you can go to my website, which is dchelsea.com. And
it's spelled like the Chelsea Hotel.
Like the Chelsea Hotel. And that has an illustration portfolio that has a page devoted to all my books. It has a page devoted to comics projects. And I put up regular blog posts these days. The blog posts are mostly about Are You Being Watched?
Well, there's a lot of various stuff going on there, so check it out there. Thanks again, David. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at wordsandpicture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
You're the star today. Smile, you're on Candid Camera. With the hocus pocus, you're in focus. It's your lucky day. Smile, you're on Candid Camera. It's fun, you should ask yourself. It's fun, it's fun, it's really fun.
You're listening to the KBOO News at Noon. Today is Thursday, August 13, 2015. The U.S. Coast Guard says a fine of $5,000 each will be levied against five protesters who tried to block a Shell oil icebreaker from leaving Portland 2 weeks ago. Greenpeace activists rappelled off the St. John's Bridge on July 29 and blocked the ship for nearly 40 hours before it eventually left to return to the Arctic Ocean for drilling. Greenpeace is still determining whether to appeal the Coast Guard's decision. Nearly a dozen cities and municipalities in Oregon have taken steps to